cliffcentral.com.
Let's turn our attention to Collectomania, which is our favorite new feature. This is where we get to talk about all the interesting stuff that people collect. And for today's episode, we're joined by Rael Demby, who's from South Africa's Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And it's brought to you today by the SA Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. So it's good to see you again, Rael. How are you?
Good doing yourself.
Yeah, thanks good, man. Sure. Nice to see you.
What's up,
yeah, you sound very quiet. Are you whispering because there's stuff going on in the house or what's happening?
Yeah, the kids are somewhere. Tell me how I'm feeling now.
No.
Any better?
You're sounding good. All right, so listen, the kids are running around or are they still asleep?
No, they're running around. They should be more quiet. I'm good.
All right, nice to see you again. So listen, we've spoken about some pretty interesting collections so far, but we've got a really cool guest today. And I know you also collect the same things as he does, so that's why we've got you both on today to talk a little bit about it. And we've met people who are obsessed, people who are just so into their collections. They spend money, they spend time, and this is true for both of you. But I want to introduce our other guest for this morning, Adrian Ruttmann. Hey, Adrian, how are you doing, man?
Morning, guys. I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, nice to see you. So you and Rael both collect watches, and we're not just talking about, you know, the kind of watch that you would wear every day to, you know, just to tell the time, although I don't know that many people who have those anymore. We're not talking about Apple watches or any of those either. We're talking about
or a swatch.
But you did, I mean, like your collection, Rael, started with a Casio watch, so it's not so weird that people would start off with something cheap, right?
Yeah, it's usually the first watch that guys start with. Young kids, maybe they get one for a couple $100 or they find one in Thailand, a fake one, and it seems to be the time that it starts. The Casio, I got myself a little data bank, which is like the old school technology calculator style.
Yeah.
And that feeling of wearing something cool and weird on your wrist is sort of how I mainly got into it. And, you know, no one can start with a Rolex unless you're crazy. But, you know, you got to start with something like that.
So there it is. There's a picture of that watch.
It's progressive.
I remember those. I was always very jealous. Those things were like the coolest. That was almost like a supercomputer in those days.
Yeah, well, you were never allowed to wear them during exams.
Yeah, you weren't. Yeah, that's right, because you could use the calculator, right? It's an amazing, you know, and that's still in really good condition, so you've obviously looked after it. Do you know what it's worth these days? Because in those days, it was a couple of hundred rand. What do you think those are worth now?
Like 102 rand, maybe.
So you could still, I mean, you could still
Adrian,
get it.
Adrian will tell you with high value incremental growth watches.
But I mean, are those the kind of things, Adrian, that you'd be able to buy on eBay right now and they'd be fairly cheap?
Yeah, those are not, Raul will know, as he told you, they're not really collectible. There's thousands of them or millions of them on the market, but it has that cool feature where I also know when I started as a little boy, that was always the one watch also you basically start off with, and then Swatch, and then you move up the ranks. You don't just dive into the Rolexes or the Pateks and Richard Mills and those kind of watches. That happens over
before we get into any of those, because I know people are really interested in the high end stuff. But I remember there was a Mickey Mouse watch where his like hands do the time, right? And that Mickey Mouse watch was like kind of a joke for a while. But those things are apparently quite rare now, and it's hard to find one in great condition, and apparently they can command quite a good price.
As far as I know, Rolex, they, just example, there was a company that actually made dials for Rolex, and I'm not sure if that Mickey Mouse dial was actually, I think it could have been one of the dials that they actually made for the watches for Disney or something, and it actually became quite a collectible watch, but the Mickey Mouse watches you can still buy in flea markets for nothing.
Okay, so you can still get them, because I heard a different story. So you're going to fill us in, so we don't just go on hearsay now. All right, you collect mainly Rolexes and vintage modern pieces, vintage and modern pieces, and you actually buy and sell. Wow, look at those watches! My God, that's amazing, man. Okay, What do you got there? Tell us about some of these. Those look incredible.
Yeah. I'm a watch dealer. So what I do, I go and find deals, or people call me, and I buy their pre-owned watches, and then I refurbish them. We put them on the website and sell them. I only recently, when I just started the business, I never actually had the money to collect the watches. I just wanted to buy a watch, flip it, and get quick cash and make money. So around about 5 or 6 years ago, I actually started to hold some of the watches that I buy. And I've really just started loving vintage Rolex watches. And they've really accumulated in value over the time. From, I know you can ask Raul, he will know how those stuff actually appreciate. It's basically like Bitcoin at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Raul, give us an idea from an investment point of view of the kinds of returns that you would get off of some of these things. I mean, are these, I think we've lost Raul for a second there, but oh, he's back. Okay, so Raul, just tell us about the investment value of some of these luxury high-end watches. Raul, can you hear us?
Again, Adrian might know. I mean, we've seen, yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool.
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Cool, all good.
Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly. I don't know what's going on. There's some kind of...
Hello?
Yeah, no, there's a problem with the connection with Raul. So you just tell us, Adrian, I mean, you talk about it like it's Bitcoin, but... What are we talking about in terms of increases in value?
I can just give you an example. I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, I found a watch in a pawn shop in Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. The guy, at that time, he wanted R1 million for the watch. It was a really old Rolex Daytona 6263 Paul Newman style. He wanted R1 million for the watch. He didn't want to tell us what he paid the lady for the watch. So I eventually went to him. I did the deal. I got the watch.
Sure.
He told us he bought that watch from the lady for, I think, R10,000. He sold it to me for R1 million. That watch eventually went to the US. Mm-hmm. It went on an auction, and it sold for R8 million. The original cost of that watch in the retail store back in the 70s was probably R1,200.
Man, when you talk about Rolexes, I mean, we know that there are people all over the world who buy these. We know that it's a very well-established and well-known brand. But do people wear them? Because I would be nervous if I had one of these things. Do you just put it in a safe? What do you do with these watches? I mean, are there people who practically wear them around?
No, I don't advise any of my clients to wear them. I know even your brother, he loves his watches, Gareth, and he doesn't even wear them. So, like, we get a lot of people, yeah, every week that come and actually sell their Rolexes. They're too scared to wear them. They get followed from sitting at restaurants or walking in shopping malls. So I always tell the guys, if you have an expensive Rolex, like, wear it at your house or wear it to your friends' houses when you're going over for a braai or whatever. Sure. But it's really bad. The situation is actually scary in the South African market, wearing luxury watches, especially Rolex, out in the public. You're basically putting a target on your back.
There's the Rolex gang. I mean,
Yes. So, Rael, on the positive side of this, I mean, you've got a great story about your Steve Jobs watch. Tell me about that. Seems like there's a hell of a delay with Rael here. I don't know if you can hear us. All right. Well, we'll leave that for a second. I'm going to come back to you, Adrian, because this is amazing stuff. When people buy Rolexes, that's not the top of the pile. There are even more things that you could add to that list. There are other brands that are probably even more expensive, right?
Yes, definitely. You get Richard Mille, which is probably like the top of the luxury watches market at the moment, where those watches start anywhere from 1.82 million rand going up to 20 million rand for a watch.
What?
But you won't find people in South Africa wearing those.
Wow.
We actually have a few clients that actually do have those watches, but they tend to want to stay under the radar and
I'm sure
not be known.
That is phenomenal. Richard Mille, you say?
Yes. If you go, you can Google it. You'll just see it's got like a distinctive look. The case of the watch is not round. It's not square. like, I don't know, just go on. If you Google
I'll do a Google search for that. That sounds absolutely incredible. So we're going to try and get Rael back because I do want to hear his story. But your business is called Luxury Time. You guys have been going for a while now. You sell new and unworn brand name watches at discounted prices. And now you've expanded by accepting trades and offering pre-owned watches as well. How do you find out? I mean, it must be a small circle of people who deal in these watches. I mean, you must know everybody else in the country who's involved in watches, right?
Yeah, there's only a few guys. If we were like a small community that actually deal in these watches. But a lot of new guys are also entering the market now because the profits are quite good on the watches if you buy them and sell them again. So it's a really hot market to be in at the moment, and people are jumping on board. And yeah, it helps me because I've been doing this for 15 years. And
amazing.
Being in this kind of industry, it's a trust game. There's so many fakes doing the rounds, so many watches that are actually built up from original parts and put together, but it's not a real watch. And those watches would be sold for hundreds of thousands of rands, and the end users won't even know it.
Yeah, you have to know who you're dealing with, right? Rael, I think we've got you back now. Can you hear us? Just as I thought.
Perhaps even, not.
Yeah, perhaps not. He was there. No. Hang on. Here he comes.
I wanted to say, Adrian, that I interviewed a watchmaker. I used to do some work for World's Finest Watches. And what really fascinated me was that we don't have watchmakers in South Africa. And we also don't train them in South Africa. That they were only trained for a while overseas. And he mentioned that as an experiment, one of the Swiss watchmaking companies came to train watchmakers in South Africa for a 3-year period. And that was about 20 years ago. So it's a really rare career to have here. And it's certainly nothing that you can apply to study for after school.
No, that's actually a big problem that we have our own in-house watchmaker, but I mean, the guy is not on the level of the Rolex guys in Switzerland that work for the big companies. And I mean, those guys charge you between 10 and 20,000 rand just for a normal service on a watch. There's actually a big gap in the South African market for a proper watch servicing center where guys can actually have their watches repaired, locally, then to send them to Geneva, which takes like 6 months to get your watch back.
And Geneva is the capital of all of this, right? That's where it all goes down. That's where the big watchmakers are.
It goes to Switzerland, but I'm just saying Geneva because that's the capital.
Sure.
Of watches,
I want to try one more time to get Rael on here. Rael, can you hear us?
I got you.
Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah. I wanted to hear the story of your Steve Jobs watch.
Yes. So I was, I'm a big reader in the watch blogs. I read the Hodinkee out in the US, that little piece there. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful story about Steve Jobs's watch that went on auction, and it sold for about 43,000 US. And he wore this watch every day of his life. Mm-hmm. And a year later, Seiko came out with a reinterpretation or a reissue of it, and they only produced about 19,082 from the year 1982, the year that watch was originally launched. And I said, I have to find this watch. It meant so much to me. I'm a Apple guy, and I searched for it, and locally you can't get these pieces. So I went onto Instagram, found someone in Japan who had a connection, and we did a deal through PayPal. I just took a risk. I didn't know if it would work. I got it, and to have something with not much high-end value still means so much to me.
Phenomenal. Yeah. And apparently, like, you've also got one of those James Bond 007 Seamasters. Is that something you've got, or is it something you want?
It is something I got. I found one in Switzerland. And, you know, what I want to say is that you can start off with something small, and it can mean something to you. You could be if 20 years into your collection and buy a Swatch, that's what you want.
Yeah.
The real beauty of it is getting what you want. And it is fashion, but you still get to enjoy it, and maybe it means something to you on the day. You might be feeling happy or angry or sad, and a watch can like sort of set your day into the right mix. And that's certainly what I do at work, to just try to like to wear Steve Jobs' watch and remember what he did. We try to do similar innovations at our work, and maybe we're not there yet, but you know.
But you guys, you guys make coin watches, right? Where the face of the watch is actually a coin.
We sell them. Yeah. The coin watches, a group from the from Australia. They're wonderful guys there, and they embed coins into the watches. You can't use a Kruger Rand and do that here, because that would be like defacing or cutting the Kruger Rand. But okay. There are ways of doing it, and we sell them. Like Adrian said, you don't want to be wearing a 100 grand golden coin on your wrist, so they aren't so popular.
Well, listen, guys, we could talk about this all day, and I suggest that anybody who has a collection, anything like what Adrian and Rael are talking about this morning, you let us know. Get us on gareth@cliffcentral.com. We'd like to hear about what it is that you collect. We want to know all about the mad obsessive collections that you keep, and we want to keep talking about this for week after week, because it's fascinating. I have not had one moment during this discussion where I haven't been a little bit jealous or a little bit curious or a little bit envious or a little bit interested in what people are up to. So guys, thank you very much for joining us this morning. You can find out more by going to cliffcentral.com. You can see what the previous episodes have detailed and what people are collecting. So Rael Denby, very nice to see you. And Adrian Rutman, good to see you too. Cliffcentral.com.